You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon. Anyways, today's passage is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll be covering verses 1 to 12. Now, it's mainly about two gifts, the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. And I'm like, oh, so controversial, Pastor Vin, why do you give me these passages? But anyways, the structure of today is we'll see the gift itself, like what are they, what are their purposes, and how do we treat them? And also a little disclaimer. I grew up in a Baptist, very Baptist, but very conservative type of church. But I went to a school, a Christian school, where all my friends, they are as Pentecostal as you can get. Like, they are like raging crazy Pentecostals. And so I've kind of been growing up and being exposed to both sides. Now, keep in mind, when I teach about these two specific gifts, if you disagree with me, that's okay. Because these topics, they're secondary, they're not primary, they're not, you know, the core values that all Christians should have. Treats this sermon like the movie of Toy Story, where Woody and Buzz Lightyear, they are totally different in nature, in character, they have different ideologies, they're pretty much from different worlds and genres. Yes, they had their little clash, but at the end of the day, they're still friends. Why? Because they still belong to Andy. And so treat today's sermon like that. Yes, you may disagree with me. We may be very different, but at the end of the day, we are still God's kids together. We're still brothers and sisters. So if you really don't like what you hear, it's okay. Hopefully we can still be friends. But I would try my best of my ability to preach what the Bible says about these two gifts. So before we dig into the passage, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that your Spirit is here. Help illuminate this passage. Lord, be with me, and may I be useful to the crowd who hears me. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just a little bit of context. Paul planted this church in Corinth, and then he went off and planted other churches. And he then gets kind of concerning reports, a whole bunch of reports, like the Corinthians did this, they're getting drunk, they're having like all these other stuff. And Paul's just like, what? How? And then he puts pen to paper and he writes to the Corinthians. So think of it like Back to the Future, where Doc leaves Marty just for a little moment, and he knows he shouldn't be doing stuff, but he ends up doing stuff anyways. He couldn't help himself, and he makes a mess, and then there's butterfly effect kicks in, and so the rest of the movie is about Marty and Doc trying to unravel all that chaos, trying to put the timeline back in place. And so Paul, this is what he's doing with the Corinthians. It's like, they started off great, but then like all this chaos, they're putting gifts in positions that it shouldn't be. And so Paul is just spending this time now just to undo all of that. And Paul says in verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gifts of prophecy. First off, Paul tells the church, hey, pursue love with persistence. It indicates a never-terminating action. Like, this love is your aim. You should desire it. This outworking of the gifts is all because of love, to build up the believers. Now, chapter 14 is based off of chapter 13. Okay, so you go home and you can read that. Usually it just gets overkilled at weddings. I don't know if it's going to be at Brendan and Emily's wedding. But it talks about love. Love is the doorway and the entrance of all this, because without love, miracles, your spiritual manifestations are all worthless. It's all pointless. It's all useless. In the words of Daryl, it's like chicken parmesan without the cheese, without the chicken rice, without the chili. And I would like to add, it's like bubble tea without the pearls. You may have a lot of gifts, but if you don't love, it means nothing.
What good does that do?
Then Paul says, you should desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. Now, first off, let's talk about prophecy, what it is, why it was given, and how do we treat it. So first off, the gift of prophecy, what is it? Because the gift of prophecy is really an Old Testament term, and maybe in your minds you may be thinking about a guy in this long robe with a gray beard with a staff predicting the future, or maybe in your minds you're thinking of something like Doctor Strange, where he's trying to predict the future and he's seeing into the alternate universes where what could happen, and he's seeing all these alternate timelines of what could happen in the coming conflicts. And Star-Lords ask him, well, how many did you see? And he replies, 14,605. And then Tony Stark asks, how many did we win? And he says, one. Is prophecy just about predicting the future? Yes and no. There is an element of predicting the future, yes, but that's not all to it. Because the late John Stott believed that prophecy is, yes, it is foretelling, but it's also forthtelling. Now, what he means by forthtelling is prophecy is about God using man to speak to man on what they need to do. You know, it's a lot less of a crystal ball and a deck of cards, but it's more simply prophecy is, here's God's word for you today. Another definition by Michael Green, a word from the Lord to a member inspired by the Spirit given to build up the rest of the body. Now, this gift kind of looks like teaching and preaching, but it's simply just not that, because it's more like a God thing where God uses his servant to be a mouthpiece and he tells them, here's what you need to say to tell them what to do. You may feel this in certain sermons where you just feel that, oh, that was preached directly at you and that hits you right in the feels and like, oh, God's just speaking to me. Like, it's just tailored all to you. Maybe you felt that. For myself, when I prepare sermons and there's certain things that I say on stage which was not planned at all, and after the service, some people will come to me and will ask me, Dex, how did you know? Who told you? And they get all suspicious and stuff. Like, they think I'm an FBI agent that's been stalking them on Facebook and like tapped into their phone lines. Like, I don't know. No one told me. And then I have another instance where someone tells me that someone else is angry at me. They're like, they say, I'm so angry at Dex because Dex was preaching about how I'm always angry. And I'm like, I didn't do that. And just last year, when I went back to Brisbane to preach at one of my old churches, my sister told me what happened after this, like a few days after this sermon. She said, I have this friend. She listened to your sermon. She's in this toxic relationship with this boy, and we've been trying to convince her all this time for ages now, but after listening to you, she dumped him. And I'm like, I didn't tell anybody to dump anybody. How did she get that? And so Paul in our passage argues that prophecy done properly and correctly is better than tongues. Because tongues is intelligible, you can't understand it, but with prophecy you can understand it. Tongues, just by it is, by itself, it's just babble, it's no good, but prophecy is better because it just has a greater breadth of impact than tongues would have. That's why he says in verse 1, eagerly desires the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Verse 2, for anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them because they are uttering the mysteries by the spirits. Why is the gift of prophecy given to us? What's its purpose? Verse 3 tells us. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Anyone who prophesies edifies the church. Edify is just another term of building up the church. Okay? That's its purpose. The gift of prophecy is given for you to build up the church. And not to make money. It's to build up the church. How then are we to treat the gift of prophecy? Now, elsewhere, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5,
Paul instructs, do not despise prophecy, but test it. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Now, if you get a word, a prophecy, that it's like just makes you all sorrowful and like just destroys your word. No. Paul says, hold to what is good. How do we treat it? How should we treat prophecy? Not with contempt, but with caution. So how should you treat prophecy? Not with contempt, but with caution. And I understand there are reasons why we have our guard up against prophecy, and we do treat it with contempt, because we hear these stories where people predict the end of the world, like cults predict the end of the world, and what follows is mass suicides. Or we have these so-called prophets who claims that they know when Jesus is returning by this date. And when this date comes, they go up and says, oh, it's been postponed. He's going to come back at another date. And it's crazy because, you know, people made business out of this, where insurance company says, oh, when you get raptured away, you can buy insurance for your pet, you know, your pet dog, your pet cat. And when you get raptured away, we'll take care of, you know, we'll take care of your little ones. Crazy. And I also remember when I first came to Perth and I took over a church, I heard some of my youth guys were going to see this so-called prophet. And so I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm like, it's ringing alarming bells, and I'm like, I'm going to check this out. And so I went there like undercover. So I went there with Demi. I wasn't smiling, you know. I was just act all gangster when I talk, like I'm squaring my shoulders up and like legs apart and everything, like just not acting like my usual friendly self. And I'm just there to test to see if he can see right through me. And so he was giving everyone prophecy, but then when it came to me, he was saying, I see that you're an engineer. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what? I've been failing all these years in high school, man. What do you mean I'm an engineer? And then he was saying, I know you're not a Christian now. I know you're resisting a lot, but you will be a Christian one day. And I'm like, all right. And then at the end of it, I kind of spoke out, actually, I'm already a Christian, and I'm their pastor. So that was just a low, passive-aggressive me saying, hey, you leave my flock alone. Don't lead them astray. Now, prophecy is very easily be abused. But on the flip side of that, in my life, I had three other people who gave me this word, and it's very a specific word, fire, and then how they describe that fire. Now, these three other guys, they don't know each other. Now, this is in a span of many years, and they came to me with the same word. I'm like, whoa, okay. And it's like this, and it's scary because they said the same thing. They don't know me. I don't know them. I don't think they know each other. But they all came to me, randomly points me out in the crowd, and they say something that I'm like, that I still, till today, I shelved it because it's good, and I'm going to test it with time. That's how I'm just going to treat it. But look, Sun Life, is any personal revelation that you receive that you think is from God, don't totally just disregard it, because it might really be from God, and if you disregard it, you might be missing out here. But with every word of prophecy that you receive, this is what you do. It always has to be subjected to biblical revelation on what God has already spoken already. Because if this contradicts the Bible, then it's pretty much, you know straight away, it's not from God. Like if people go up to say, you need a divorce, you know, your husband and your wife. No, that's not from God. It's just not. And I've heard that. It's just crazy. And maybe one of the reasons why now some of you despise prophecy so much is because back then you raised that prophecy to the level of Scripture. And you held it at the same rank. And when that prophecy or that word didn't go your way, you become bitter, and now you're just against all prophecies. But, hey, Sun Lifers, how do we treat prophecy. This is what I really believe. This is what Peter says in Acts chapter 2 when he stands up. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Then he talks about how he pour out all flesh on young and old, male and female, sons and daughters. They will receive my spirit and they will prophesy. I believe some of you here have this gift of prophecy, where you do have words of encouragement to build up this church or to build your brother and sister up. How would you know? Like if God puts this strong word or this strong picture or this strong inkling feeling of just to pray for someone, you do it. Be bold, be courageous, and just do it. So it's like you know it's a God thing because you just can't shake this off. Be obedient. Speak it out. And don't worry about what people think. If people think that you're weird, here's the truth. You're already Christian. You're already weird. So don't be too afraid. Oh, they're going to think, you're already Christian. It's fine. And those of you on the receiving end of that prophecy, test everything. I literally mean test everything. Hold fast to what is good, but test it all. Now, you don't want to quench the spirits by disregarding and holding prophecy in contempt, but receive that word with caution. Because some of you, sorry to say, are far too gullible. Like, you hear this word and it hits you right in the feels, and you like that image or that picture, and it's like, oh, I'm going to marry that girl. that's so good. And you chase after that like a headless chicken or oh, I'm going to be rich or I'm going to be a history maker. Like you're far too gullible to receive those type of things. You don't have to believe in every wacko that tells you this is from God. You have to ask again, does this contradict the Bible? Yes or no? Then you shelve it and then you wait and you test it with time. That's the biblical way on how to treat prophecy. Not with contempt, but with caution, with testing. Now let's talk about the gifts of tongues, why it's given, and how to treat it. What is it? Let's first off, what is it? In contrast to prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about, what is it? It's really a tongue is unknown language spoken to God. It's an unknown language spoken to God. Now, before you go raging and throwing shoes at me, the tongues here in 1 Corinthians 14, it's different to tongues in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the goal of tongues, you know, when Peter stands up, he speaks in tongues, it was for world evangelism. It's for people to understand. They understood it in their own native language. This tongue was used for public proclamation. But here in chapter 14, Paul is kind of alluding, hey, you do this in private. Tongues is for your personal edification. So in Acts chapter 2, tongues was going horizontal to the people. Peter was talking to the people, but here in chapter 14, verse 2, Paul is saying, you're speaking to God, so this is not going horizontal, this is going vertical, this is going upwards, because after all, you're speaking the mysteries of the Spirit. One tongue, you don't need interpretation, because they all heard it in their own language, and then this other one, later on you will see that you need to have an interpreter if this tongue is going to be spoken in public. It's different. Acts chapter 2's tongues and tongues in chapter 14 in Corinthians are different. This tongue is an unknown language spoken to God. Now, why is this gift of tongues given to us? What is its purpose? Well, in verse 4, Paul says it's for the edifying of yourselves. To edify yourself. It really is a genuine gift. Paul isn't bashing this gift and saying this is like, you know, this is a wrong gift or bad, because later on in verse 18 he says, I speak in tongues and I speak in tongues more than all of you, so there's nothing wrong with it. But here's where the Corinthian church got it so wrong, because with this tongue where it is elastic type of babbling, this unknown language that comes out when people hear that, the church people went, whoa, that is crazy. Like, what's going on? They're so intrigued by it. Because that city of Corinth is a major city of the Roman Empire, one of the major port cities. And so you have all these other religions and idols that's happening. And so in that area, when a god or a spirit comes and enters one of the worshippers, and that person just loses control and just goes out in this crazy utterance, people are like, man, that is cool. That's someone you want to befriend. That's someone you want to admire. And so it's been leaked into the Corinthian church. And so they were doing the same thing where they just start babbling and babbling. And they pretty much put the gift of tongues, which is only a gift, to the gift. They put it in the number one place. And so it becomes highly coveted because it's abnormal, it's different, and looks special. And often those who receive this gift of tongues have this spiritual pride that grows in them. And there's a problem still even today where churches glamorize it. They glamorize the gift of tongues, making it the gift instead of a gift. And what that all that does is to pressure people to making people think, oh, that's what I need to do to fit in. And so what you have is people would fake it. All you need to do is practice babbling, say stuff really fast, work yourself up, totally just speak in gibberish, like learn from an infant or Big Shaq. Skia! You guys know that meme. Because that's the best way to show people that you're spiritual. That's the best way to fit in to that church. So there's a whole bunch of fake tongues around. But I still believe that this gift of tongues is still a genuine gift today. It's still a genuine gift, but without its proper setting and guidance, it causes the church to have a lot of chaos and division rather than building up the church. This is the whole reason why Paul addresses this gift in detail about the gift of tongues. So verse 6 to 12, I just summarize it for you because of sake of time, I just can't go through verse by verse. Paul is pretty much saying, you speak in tongues, that's cool. But you do know that no one understands you, right? It is unhelpful. Like a musical instrument, if it just keeps playing random notes, it's not helpful to anyone. Like a trumpet, if it doesn't make clear sounds, the troops won't know when to retreat or when to withdraw. That's the same thing, when to advance or when to withdraw. If you speak in tongues, when other non-believers come to this church, they're going to feel like a foreigner. They will have no idea what you're talking about. And they may be freaked out by you. They may just think that you're crazy. So it comes to the last part, to the gift of tongues. How should we treat the gift of tongues today? Here it is. Desire it, but don't glamorize it. Desire it. Genuinely desire it, church, but don't glamorize it. There's nothing to be afraid of, and there's nothing to be too proud of. You get me? I believe speaking in tongues is still given by God today. Now, some people on one end of the spectrum will say, no, no, Dexter, you're preaching heresy. No, that gift has stopped. People who talk in tongues today are all fake. They're demonized. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you can't say that. Like, why do you say this gift stopped, but all these other gifts still continue on? Like, you can't just, what gives you the power to pick and choose which gift still continues today? Like, you're not the giver of the gifts. Isn't it, the last time I checked, it's God who gives this gift away. You can't just say it stopped or not, because I'm like, who are you? But Dex, it has to be a known language. It has to be able to be interpreted. I'm like, well, hang on. 1 Corinthians 13:1 talks about tongues of men and an angelic tongue. And Paul claims that he speaks both. So what if the gift of tongues that you're so against is just a way, like, you know, language of an angel? Like, do you speak angel? Do you know? No, you don't. But they're demonized, Dex. I'm like, no, you can't do that. It's unhelpful. You see how this is unhelpful? When you just, what about the Christians that do claim they have the gift of tongues? Because I believe that, like, I just look at the fruit in their life, and that is the sign that they're Christian. Like, you can't say that. It's, why are you attacking your brother and sister like that? But then you have the other extreme that goes, Dex, if you don't speak in tongues, you aren't baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're not really a true Christian. You're just your foot's in the door, but you're not there yet. And I also have a problem with that, because saying things like that, again, is not helpful. It does not build up the church. That's not loving. Because in Romans 8, talks about it's either you have the Spirit or you don't. It's either you're a Christian or you're not. There's no like 50% Christian, or it's not like that. It's not like a percentage. It's either you're all in or you're all out. That's just how it is. And growing up with surrounded by Pentecostal friends, I had people try to zap this gift of tongues in me. Like, they just try to impart it in me. Like, you know, like, I remember this pastor was anointing people with oil, and he was just going around and dabbing people with oil, like, in his jar. But then when it got to me, he probably thought, this kid needs help, and he opens up, unscrews it, and just dumps it all on me. Dumps it on, it's like getting in my eyes, and it's kind of burning. I'm like, oh. Just trying to impart this gift of tongues in me, and I kid you not, I didn't get it. And I had pastors trying to slay me in the spirits, where they literally tried to push me. And I just remember I would clench my teeth, I would stiffen my neck, one foot back, and I would hunker down, because I'm going down for no man. Like, if it's really from God, like, the Spirit, you have to knock me out right now, because I'm not going down. And I do remember earnestly asking for tongues. And I prayed that throughout my years, because I saw all my friends have it. And I remember one rally at, you know, Reinhardt's Bonkey's big rally, and he was there, and he was asking people, who wants the gift of tongues? I'm like, yeah, me, I want the gift of tongues. And everyone's praying, and the whole stadium was praying the gift of tongues, and then I just went for it. And then I prayed, and I prayed, and I felt so edified. I'm like, oh, sweet, I got the gift of tongues now. And then I turned around and I look at my schoolmates and my school friends. They just looked at me. And I'm like, you guys totally understood all of that, right? They're like, yeah, that was awesome. But I'm like, dang it, I didn't have the gift of tongues. Because they understood everything that I said. And I kept asking, why, God, why don't you give me this gift of tongues? And God, in his own unique way, with a whisper, he says, knock it off, Vindo. It's a no. I've given you other gifts, like being a teacher, being a preacher. Use those. And I was like, what about making people laugh? And he's like, okay, sure, go ahead, son. And I came to peace with that. And I felt I am no less of a Christian without the gift of tongues. I am no less of a Christian without the gift of tongues. But then the crazy thing is, literally 2 Sundays ago, I went to visit another church, and I was there during the worship time, and God just placed in my heart someone to pray for, and I didn't know the words to say, and during the worship, I just started praying. And then I realized, wait a minute, this isn't English or Vietnamese. What's going on? But I could switch on and out, and then I did it some more, then I'm like, oh my goodness, like, what's happening? And then I had to go check with the senior pastor. Hey, is this the gift of tongues? And it's like, yes, it is. And so just 2 weeks ago, I received it after 13 years of desiring it. But being okay with it, not having it, but then suddenly God just gave it to me. Now, how did that make me feel? You know what? I don't feel like a superior Christian at all. I still feel the same. I still feel like Dex. The gift of tongues, it's not a gift that everyone has. It's okay if you don't have it. It doesn't mean you're any less of a Christian. Those who have it, cool, but it does not make you a superior Christian. So the gift of tongues, how do you treat it? Desire it. Don't glamorize it. If you have it, be thankful, not prideful. It's okay if you don't have it. It's okay to use your other gifts to worship and serve the Lord. Wow, I'm out of time already. Verse 13, another way how you should treat the gift of tongues is make sure that there's an interpreter. Because right now, if I suddenly break out into, you know, this babbling, you wouldn't understand anything. Make sure there is an interpreter. I won't go too much into that gift, but it's like a quick duos from Star Wars in a galaxy far, far away, like Wookiee and Han Solo. Most of the screen time that Wookiee gets, it's just him screaming. And no, I would not mimic him. But lucky, there's like no subtitles or anything, but lucky we have Han Solo that translates everything that Wookiee says. And the same with Guardian of the Galaxy, where Rocket Raccoon is the only one at first that could understand Groot, because all Groot says is, I'm Groot. And Vin Diesel got a lot of money out of that. Anyways, I wish it was not Vin Diesel, but a Vin Doe, but you know. I'm Groot, but if there was no interpreter, it's not that helpful. And also another way that you can treat the gift of tongues is you don't compare. Don't compare any of your gifts like yours. Don't treat yourselves as superheroes asking what other heroes, what their superpowers are. It's just like that scene straight out of Justice League. Billy Allen asks Bruce Wayne, oh, by the way, what's your superpower again? And Wayne says, I'm rich. Don't take pride in your gift. Oh, you got the gift of hospitality. I speak an angel. Don't do that. But don't forget to follow the way of love. Let's go back to verse 1. Because love is where it starts and love is where it should end. Follow the ways of love. 1 Corinthians 13, okay, verse 1 to 3, it says this: If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. In other words, you're just annoying. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but have not loved, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, give my bodies to the flame, but if I have not love, I gain nothing. So here's the take home, church. With your gift of prophecy or with the gift of tongues or with any gift in that manner, if you exercise it but you don't love, that's nothing. It's pointless. Your gift does not matter. It's never been about you. No, it's always been about others. Last movie, last duo. In The Mandalorian, Din Djarin unconditionally loves and serves Grogu, protects him. For the Mandalorian, this is the way. For us, this is the way. Jesus claims, I am the way, and Jesus is God, and God is love. Verse 1, again, follow the way of love. When you are using your gifts, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus on how he died on that cross, on how he served us. Serve in a loving way. Let's pray.